Shalom, Saints. Welcome back to another episode of After Hours. Wow, I can't believe we're here. Nigh on halfway through the counting of the Omer as we head towards Shavuot, Pentecost. I can't believe we're at this point already. This year is turning into a blur. But again, the sun's shining, the birds are singing. The world is still action-packed. But I'm just enjoying the ride. I figured we've gone into some pretty deep territories over the last few weeks, and I thought it might be a great idea to lighten the load a little bit, switch up the gears. I was recently prompted in the spirit. Two witnesses, big up Ange and Martin, and I've been led to go down the musical route for today's episode. I think it's such an important part of our spiritual diet. I've personally always been enamored, fascinated, drawn to, and absolutely love music in all its different forms. And evidently, on this walk, it is such an important factor in our lives day to day, whether it be for work, for pleasure, for worship. And I thought it's about time that we take a dip into the musical pool, as it were. So today I'm going to be laying down the gauntlet. This is a challenge to all of you guys out there, both online and within the fellowship. What we're going to do today, we're going to go through some music, some songs that have impacted me, have built up and encouraged me on my walk, both previously and today. And I just think it'd be a great opportunity just to share and see what inspires you guys out there as well. I've personally got a very eclectic taste in music, and that hopefully will be represented in my choices today. And I just throw that invitation out. If anybody watching would like to come on and share the powerful impacts of the music that has helped shape and mold their walk with Yeshua, we can get into it. So without further ado, I'm going to get the jukebox fired up. And I just want to talk about some of these songs and what they've done for me and how they've impacted me and my life, essentially, because I know with music, it's a funny one. When I first came on the Torah path, I was literally like throwing all of my music out because it was all secular, all worldly, heavily influenced by demonic principalities, essentially. But I'm sure I speak on behalf of a lot of people where you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, and you soon come to realize that not all music is in fact demonic, and there is hope. So praise Yah, he built up and restored my love for music. And along the way, bit by bit, I came across some amazing artists and influences which are just are great. And I'm of the view that not all music is worship music per se. We can have a lot of testimonial based music. We can have music that's glorifying of God. It can be a commentary of your walk with Messiah. It doesn't have to be straight up anointed worship music. However, there is most definitely a time and a place for that. But I'm kind of going to be looking at more of the former principles of songs that have just encouraged me, and ones that I enjoy today. So let's have a gander. First up, we have, right, so this one I came across. Now, just for a bit of background context. Now, I grew up in the early 90s where hip hop and rap music really blew up in the secular world, and I was always enamored by it for all the wrong reasons, essentially. However, I've always been fascinated by literature, linguistics, poetry, and so rap, hip hop, and all of that stuff definitely floated my boat. However, yeah, when I came to the faith, it was see you later. I could not. I couldn't continue listening to that sort of music that glorified sin, essentially. So it was an interesting one to come to. Christ-centered rap and hip hop. But before we get into modern contemporary styles, I came across this a number of years ago, and I thought this was most definitely a forerunner to what we would consider to be contemporary Christian hip hop, if that is such a thing. And I thought, wow, like these guys are doing some really cool stuff. Now, I've always enjoyed, early gospel music, Motown. Now, for those who are probably aware, a lot of popular music, pop music, was in its origins church music. It was gospel music. And over the years, it got more watered down and diluted to the point where we have the stuff that we have today. But back in the day, like way, way back in the day, music was just music about faith and God and so this, I came across this years ago and was like, wow, these guys were really doing it. And I just thought it was cool. It's just like a real insight into the time and just good fun. And
he declared that the Eve was the sent of man, and then he decided to destroy the land. He spoke to Noah, and Noah stopped. He said, Noah, I want you to build me an ark. I want you to build it 3 cubits long. I want you to build it big and strong. I want it 50 high and 50 wide, so it will stand the wind and tide. It's the hewing of the saw cried, sin repent. 100 years he hammered and sawed, building the ark by the grace of God. When the ark was done, God's voice was heard. He said, now Noah, let me tell you what to do. Call in the animals 2 by 2. So he called them in the ark 2 by 2. He called the birds, the ox with the kangaroo. Then he called in Japheth, the ham and sham. Then God began to flood the land. He raised his hands to heaven on high, shook the stars and moon from the sky, shook the mountain, he troubled the sea. Hits the wind to his chariot wheel. He stepped on land, stood on the shore, and declared that time there wouldn't be no more.
But it's over, Noah. Oh, oh, Noah. Oh, oh, Noah. God's going to ride on the winning tide.
Yes. It's so cool. That's the Jubilees with Noah. And it's like, it's just so cool. It's such a throwback. But it's just like, it's cool. It's talent. They can sing. They're doing their dancing and stuff. It's just, Yeah, I've just always really enjoyed that. Next up is a song. I don't know an awful lot about this artist. And again, I probably heard this a few years ago. Always for me, a good sign of a song. And I know everything's subjective, and all of these selections here are not going to be to everybody's taste. And you're probably going to be shouting at the screen going, I can't believe you haven't chosen this, that, or the other. That's the point, hopefully. But with that being said, a good sign of a song is one that you don't ever skip when it comes up on your playlist, whether you're driving, doing your housework or whatever. It just always plays. You never, ever skip it. And for me, this is one of them. It's really sweet. I've always enjoyed the sentiment of the lyrics, very biblically based. It's a really nice beat, really well produced, and just a very, very sweet song. And it's just never been a skipper for me. This is Lazuli, No Greater Love.
Of your love, I shout it from the rooftops till everybody knows. Unashamed forever of what you've done for me. I dance and sing and shout in your presence, 'cause you have set me free.
Greater love,
I am now called your friend. I'll
really beautiful. No greater love than someone to lay their life down for their friends. It's lovely use of sampling. Really simple, really stripped back. Lovely voice, and I just never skip it. I love it, and always loved it from the first time I heard it. My next offering. Now, as I mentioned at the top there, I've always enjoyed more kind of hip hop and rap. I've enjoyed loads of types of music. I still do. Like I'm just very open to all types, but there's something about when I'm talking about hip hop, I'm not talking about the spiritual backdrop of hip hop and all of the kind of conscious stuff. I'm well aware of that, but the essence of the use of words to music, so lyricism and lyrics that glorify God and everything in between. What I really enjoy about this form of music is just how much you can compact into one song. So a lot of songwriting can be, you know, verse, chorus, and that's great. But there's something about the volume of content in which you can contain can really convey, like, not only deep messaging, but like some serious expressions of understanding of theology and the application of biblical theology within a song format. Now, I really appreciate that this sort of music isn't for everybody. It can be jarring just hearing somebody rap and do all that stuff. Like I completely get it, and because it's not all of it's for me either, particularly in its sort of more modern incantations with the effect of drill and trap music from the secular then bleeding into kind of rap. Sonically it can be very difficult to listen to, both in terms of the lyrics and the sound and the overall production. So I understand when people are like, nah, it's just too much going on. But some people, I think, have a capacity for words and have a capacity to listen and to take that in. And I think I'm one of them. That's why I do enjoy this form of music. Now, as I said, when I first came to the faith, I was like, ah, it's all of the devil. I can't listen to any of it. But I remember being guided into a certain direction musically, and all of a sudden everything really opened up for me. And this was after maybe a couple of years on the walk. And it was such a revelation that I could still enjoy music, still enjoy this form of music, and feel like I was close to God whilst listening and taking it in. And so this group kind of encapsulates the time for me and a period where it was beautiful. I was, relatively new to the faith and I guess still solitary in a lot of elements. I wasn't in fellowship. So having this restoration at this time was like, it was really important and really helpful. So this group, I believe they're from Portland, Oregon in the States. They're called Beautiful Eulogy. And I think they've basically got three main albums. And they're all very, very, like, I really love them. I've listened to them a lot. And so I wanted to maybe pick a track that was, an expression of their musical style. But for me now, it's a throwback. Whenever I listen to their stuff, like, it just takes me back to a really cool time. And their use of instrumentation's awesome, their production's great, lyrically very biblically astute. I think they kind of come from the Reformed school of thought, so a lot of it is it can be a little bit smarty pants, but I think it's really well done. So I'll let this play out. It's from the album Worthy. I think I want to say it's this second or third album. Anyway.
This present age will waste away. We will surely suffer, but it's a slight momentary trouble. The deconstruction is painful, but the transformation is beautiful. When we, the children of God, are crushed under the heavy affliction of this world, be reminded that it's weightless in comparison to the eternal measure of God's glory. We have lost our eyes for the unseen and have swallowed the false hope of the visible. We must realize the empty grave and revel in the certainty of his resurrection with assurance of renewal, considering it worthy to suffer for the faith. So we will worship while we wait. Unfortunate moment, you took everything that I own, everything you've given from heaven above and everything that I've ever known. If you stripped away my ministry, my influence, my reputation, my health, my happiness, my friends, my pride, and my expectation. If you caused for me to suffer, or to suffer for the cause of the cross, if the cost of my allegiance is prison and all my freedoms are lost. If you take the breath from my lungs and make an end of my life. If you take the most precious part of me and take my kids and my wife. It would crush me, it would break me, it would suffocate and cause heartache. I would taste a bitter dark providence, but you would still preserve my faith. What's concealed in the heart of having is revealed in the losing of things. And I can't even begin to imagine the sting that kind of pain brings. I would never blame you for evil, even if you caused me pain. I came into this world with nothing, and when I die, it'll be the same. I will praise your name in the giving and taking away. If I have you, I could lose everything and still consider it gain.
It can mean everything, it can mean nothing. One word makes the difference. It can mean everything, it can mean nothing. One word changes everything. It can mean everything, it can mean nothing. One word makes the difference. It can mean everything, it can mean nothing. One word changes everything.
Everyone who trusts in you will not be put to shame. If that's not what I believe, then why is that what I proclaim? If it don't change how I live, should I still shout it just the same? If I shout it as loud as I can, will blessings shower down from the heavens and land on my crown? To rinse away all my doubt, and the grace of God is only sweet. To the ears who hear the sound of it, but that sweetness won't be tasted by the mouth of a counterfeit faith. Only the thirsty will drink from the fountain of life and count. Everything is a loss for the sake of being found in Christ. Obedience to God's word is the safest foundation, a safe haven for saints waiting for the glorious great day when our Savior will return. That's the day of restoration. Those who sleep will be awakened, and we will never cease to thank him, singing, worthy is the Lamb to receive glory and honor. Worthy is the Lamb who reconciled us to our Father. Worthy is the one who gives life without end. But if Christ is not raised, then we get still in our sin. If
it can mean everything, it can mean nothing. One word makes the difference. It can mean everything, it can mean nothing. One word changes everything. It can mean everything, it can mean nothing. One word makes the difference. It can mean everything, it can mean nothing. One word changes everything. It can mean everything, it can mean nothing. One word makes a difference.
It can mean everything, it can mean nothing. One word changes everything. It can mean everything, it can mean nothing. One word makes a difference. It can mean everything, it can mean nothing. One word changes everything.
That was beautiful, beautiful eulogy. Yeah, just really like them, really like them as a group. A lot of good stuff, great production. And there's something about, it's like when you've got a movie that you don't quite catch the first time, that you need to watch it maybe two or three times to really get all the nuance and all the kind of subplots as well. And I find that with a lot of this sort of music, really, you have to really actually listen to it and try and digest it and work it out a bit. And you know, which is again, in this generation, a lot of people don't really want to be doing that. They just want everything straight away, but sometimes it's, you know, the good things you have to kind of work for a bit. So yeah, that was beautiful, beautiful eulogy. And yeah, go check out the stuff, really worth a listen if you're into that kind of thing. So my next choice, so much of so many principles of the faith and our relationship to Yah is like musical, and the expression of that goes way, way back and cannot be even more personified than it is, than is written in the Psalms. Like, come on, like, it's, we got like full books written in song format in a Holy Spirit inspired declaration, commentary, and expression of what it means to be created by the creator of all things. I mean, come on, it's one of the God-given gifts that we've been given, is the expression of our love for one another, our creation, and ultimately our creator himself. And when I know there's a lot of conjecture when it comes to musical forms, particularly in Christian circles. A lot of it can be influenced by the culture and society and the world in general. And sometimes it can be hard to draw the line between what is holy and profane, because a lot of the time you can make a song and put the name of Jesus in it and you've got a hit. So I understand the pitfalls of modern Christian music. But at the same time, we're not all built to be listening to hymns, you know, and some people can, and that's great. But my point being, I think music really hits the more biblically in line it is lyrically. And what I really love about this next group, the Sons of Korah, which I'm sure you're very familiar with, is the rendition of the Psalms in a modern, I guess, fairly contemporary format. And so when you could be worshipping, you could be having a moment of intimacy, you could just be contemplating and meditating on the Lord. And these songs really help bring that into line. So I think it encompasses a lot of, It's a safe place. It's a safe place of expression and a declaration of what it means to follow Christ. And I could have picked any number of songs from this group. I guess I was fairly new, fairly late to these guys, but this song in particular, literally only yesterday, the spirit hit me hard. I was driving. I had to skip the song because it was just it was becoming a health and safety violation. But this song in particular, there's something about the chord change, the structure, the sequencing of it. The arrangement is just stunning. It's just beautiful. Now, I'm not like overly musically astute in the sense that I can't read. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? I've got a beginner's grasp, shall we say. And I quite like that because I don't quite know how they've managed to like put this together, but whatever they've done, the changes, the arrangement, it just proper hits me. It proper hits me. So this is Psalm 116 by Sons of Korah. Oh, and the guitar. I can't think, the guitar's ridiculous.
May walk before the Lord.
So that was Sons of Korah. I can't express how much discipline and self-control it takes me not to start belting out along to that. But I know that's not what you're here for. And I appreciate that this episode may not be the most aesthetically engaging, but that's not the point. I just hope that this can maybe even lead some people to music they've not heard before, or it may even invigorate the listeners to get involved and to tell me why are my choices not the best choices, and what I should be listening to. So yeah, that was the Sons of Korah. Like, they're so good. Like, they're so legit, it's ridiculous. And I'm sure I'm probably preaching to the converted there. Next up, this one's for the soldiers. Now, this artist, he comes under the label, the record label of Lamp Mode, which were predominantly Christian hip hop. I guess from maybe about 10 years old, they formed, I reckon. A lot of good artists on there. Timothy Brindle, Believe in Steven, S.O., Hazakim. So if you're of a messianic leaning and you like hip hop, Hazakim all day long. That's full of the Hebrew messianic lens. So if straight Christian hip hop isn't your thing, Hazakim. Honestly, for me, I had to limit so much stuff. Like, I really had to cut off a lot of potential artists and songs that I would like to. So this, by no means is this an expression of my only taste. But this artist, Shy Lin, I think technically is just like an amazing artist. Very very versatile in his styles, lyrically astute, biblically on point, a lot of soul in his production. It's just good, and I could have chosen any number of songs, but this one always it's that essence of preparing for his return, and how creation yearns for the return of Christ. And I just remember when I first heard this, was this is my jam. And again, like I said earlier, there's certain songs you just don't skip, and this one I don't ever skip. So this is Shy Lin with Come Lord Jesus Come.
Majesty seen by every eye, come Lord Jesus, come. The sun goes dark and the moon won't shine, the stars fall down, see the heavenly sign, the trumpet sounds for the very last time, come Lord Jesus, come. Arrived and the universe shakes, hey. The dawn of the age to come now breaks, hey. Satan and his angels tossed in the lake, hey. Come Lord, hey. Jesus, hey. Come, hey. Hey.
Come quickly, Lord.
Come quickly, Lord.
Come quickly, Lord.
Come quickly, Lord.
Lo and behold, it's the great white throne. Come, Lord Jesus, come. The earth ran away and the skies have flown. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Books opened up cause the judge is true. All shall receive what is justly due. Who can escape from death number two? Come, Lord Jesus, come.
Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. Ladies and gentlemen, a moment of silence for the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Come, Lord Jesus, come.
Come quickly, Lord.
Come quickly, Lord.
Come quickly, Lord.
Come quickly, Lord. All the elect gather round their Christ. Lord Jesus, come. See our names in the Lamb's book of life. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Death swallowed up, triumph of the King. Where is your victory? Where is your sting? Worthy is the Lamb, is the song we'll sing.
Hey,
come, Lord Jesus, come.
Hey, hey.
Classic. That's Shylin, Come Lord Jesus Come. So good. So I have saved my very best till last. And I think I probably heard this maybe about 4 or 5 years ago. And it struck me straight away and took me to a place that was just very deep and powerful. And I know a lot of us on this messianic path are the pursuers of the Hebrew language and the hidden depths of the language and the meaning, and even sonically may not be fluent in the language itself, but there's something about the resonance of that language that just fills the soul in a way that other languages can't. And again, much like the Sons of Korah, it is a psalm in itself, Psalm 27, and it's called Adonai Ori. The Lord is my light. And a lot of talk here can be geared towards intimacy. Be intimate with the Lord and seek intimacy. And for some, that may not be the easiest thing to do. You know, closing the door and being intimate with God, it can be quite abstract to some people. But this song in particular took me to a place of intimacy that I hadn't perhaps experienced in other music before. And even now, like if I want to get to that place, and I recommend, like, maybe not now when you first hear this, but like I would recommend you close the door, turn the light off, get a candle on, and just do what you're gonna do, because it's just stunning. Unfortunately, I don't think the sound quality on this YouTube is the best, but that doesn't really matter because you'll get it anyway. It's 10 minutes. It's a bit lengthy, but again, there's a lot of kind of different sections of the song which has its own character, and I don't know. It's hard to describe, but the singing's beautiful, the arrangement's beautiful, and obviously the lyrics are very powerful. So yeah, this is Psalm 27, Adonai Ori, the Lord is my light.
Mizmor Kaf Zayin Ledavid. Lord Beno Amaronai Ulevaka Behegalon. He eats Beneni Besuko Beyom Ra Yastereni Besete Ahulu.
Yeah.
That was Adonai Ori, The Lord Is My Light by Christine Jackman. Yeah, just beautiful and really powerful for me. Such is the beautiful subjective nature of music in general. I appreciate that these songs may or not be your preferences musically, and that's absolutely fine. But that was just an insight in towards the songs and the music that impacted me on my wilderness so far. So there's the challenge, guys. If you're online and there's no way of you making it here in the flesh, then I invite you, get involved in the comments. Give us your top three, your top five impactful worship songs. Songs that people may or may not have heard of. And for those in the fellowship, if you've watched this and you've seen this, please give me a shout. We'll arrange for you to come on and go through the songs that have impacted your walk and your time in the faith, and to share it with everyone else. So that was my playlist of the wilderness. So I hope you enjoyed it, a little bit different. And yeah, hopefully this reaches you well. Yah willing, we will see you on the next episode. And yeah, I hope this blesses you. God bless. From our house to yours, this has been the Upper Room. Shalom.